A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one, and it opens with a kind of irony you can't script. He dictated a prompt into Whisper, OpenAI's speech-to-text model, and the word Whisper came back as Whisper. The model misheard its own name. That's not just a typo. That's the entire problem in six letters.
It's almost too perfect. The model transcribing itself into a nonsense word is the thesis statement for why 95% word accuracy still fails.
Daniel's point is that he's learned the hard way. He sends prompts for the show via voice. And if he doesn't review them manually, we end up going down rabbit holes based on mistranscribed words. The technology is good enough to make you comfortable, and bad enough to betray you. That's the uncanny valley he's talking about.
Which is exactly where the real stakes live. Knowledge workers are dictating 3,000 plus words a day now. At a 10% error rate, that's 300 corrections every single day. The cognitive tax of reviewing everything you dictated erases the productivity gain voice input was supposed to deliver.
The question isn't, can we make transcription more accurate? It's, can we build a system that reads what it just wrote and asks whether it makes sense? And Daniel lays out two competing approaches. The two-pass pipeline, where you run Whisper first and then feed the text into an LLM for cleanup, versus a unified multimodal model that processes audio and text tokens in a single pass. He wants to know which one actually gets us to 100% without human review.
That ironic error. Whisper transcribing itself as Whisper is the perfect entry point into a much deeper problem. Because the error isn't acoustic, Whisper and Whisper sound identical. The model heard the sounds correctly. It just had no idea what it was saying.
Which is the core tension here. Voice-to-text removes friction for creative expression. Daniel mentioned pacing while thinking, which is huge for ADHD brains. But the remaining 10-20% error rate forces a manual review step that puts the friction right back. You freed yourself from the keyboard only to chain yourself to the edit button.
The two approaches Daniel's asking about represent fundamentally different philosophies about where intelligence should live in the pipeline. The two-pass model says, let the acoustic specialist do acoustics and let the language specialist do language. The unified model says, those things were never really separate, and splitting them creates more problems than it solves.
Our thesis for this episode, the path to eliminating human review isn't better acoustic modeling. It's building models that can read what they just wrote and ask, does this make sense using context? We're going to trace this through the architecture of both approaches. Look at where each one breaks, and land on what you should actually build or use today.
Let's get into the weeds. Why does a model with 1.55 billion parameters and 680,000 hours of training still make a mistake like Whisper?
Because Whisper was never designed to understand what it's saying. It's an encoder-decoder transformer trained to map audio spectrograms to text tokens. That's it. It's extraordinarily good at that mapping problem. The acoustic modeling is genuinely state-of-the-art, but there is no mechanism anywhere in the architecture that evaluates whether the output is semantically plausible.
The encoder takes the audio, converts it to a sequence of hidden representations, and the decoder auto-regressively generates text tokens one at a time, each one conditioned on the previous tokens and the encoder's output. It's a pure sequence-to-sequence model. It has no feedback loop that says, wait, that doesn't make sense, let me reconsider.
Which means it's fundamentally vulnerable to a whole class of errors that survive, even when word error rate is low. And Daniel's prompt is basically a taxonomy of those failure modes, whether he meant it that way or not.
Let's walk through them. First, homophone errors. Whisper versus Whisper. Acoustically identical, semantically one is a known entity and the other is gibberish. The model has no entity knowledge, so it can't disambiguate. Second, domain-specific vocabulary. Brand names, tech terms, any proper noun that wasn't well represented in the training data. If you dictate, I'm using Claude for this, and the model has never seen Claude as an AI assistant in its training distribution, you might get Claude or Cloud.
The training data cutoff matters here. Whisper Large V3 was released in September 2024, trained on 680,000 hours of multilingual data scraped from the web. If a brand name or tech term emerged after the training data was collected, or if it was just rare in the corpus, the model has no way to know it's a real thing.
The third failure pattern is probably the most dangerous. Drop negation words. I do not agree becomes I do agree. That's a single dropped word that flips the entire meaning of a sentence. And because the model is optimizing for acoustic likelihood, not semantic coherence, it has no mechanism to flag that the second version contradicts the surrounding context.
The fourth one Daniel mentioned is hallucinated punctuation. Whisper will sometimes insert a period where there should be a comma, or vice versa, and that changes sentence boundaries and meaning. He also mentioned the scratch that sentence problem, where the user gives a verbal instruction to delete the previous sentence, and a naive transcription just includes the instruction as text.
All of these share the same root cause. Whisper doesn't know what it wrote. It can't read its own output and apply common sense reasoning. And this is where the two-pass approach comes in.
Walk me through the two-pass pipeline. What's actually happening under the hood?
Pass 1 is straightforward. You run Whisper Large V3 on the audio and get a raw transcript. Pass 2 is where the intelligence gets added. You take that raw text and feed it into an LLM, GPT-4o, Claude, whatever, with a system prompt that says something like, fix transcription errors using context. If a word looks like a plausible homophone error for a known entity, correct it. Remove meta instructions like scratch that sentence. Add paragraph breaks for new thoughts.
This is where Daniel's Whisper example gets interesting. In a two-pass system, the LLM sees the word Whisper in a sentence about AI transcription models. It knows that Whisper is an OpenAI model. It knows that Whisper is not a known entity in this context. It can infer that this is almost certainly a homophone error and correct it.
The LLM brings world knowledge and common sense reasoning that Whisper completely lacks. It can do entity recognition, it can detect when a negation word was probably dropped because the resulting sentence contradicts the paragraph's argument, and it can recognize scratch that as a instruction rather than content.
Daniel's MacBook Pro example is the same pattern. If Whisper outputs, I need to buy a new MacBook Pro, the LLM knows that MacBook Pro is a product name with specific capitalization. It can restore the proper casing and entity recognition in a way the acoustic model never could.
This actually works in practice. AI uses a two-pass system, Whisper plus a proprietary LLM, and the results are better than raw Whisper output. But there are real trade-offs.
Latency and cost, right? You're doubling inference time and API spend.
Doubling at minimum. If you're using Whisper Large V3 Plus GPT-4o, you're paying for two separate inference passes, and the user is waiting for both to complete before they see the final text. For real-time transcription, that's a deal-breaker. Even for async use cases like Daniel dictating a prompt, it adds noticeable delay.
There's a subtler failure pattern. The LLM can overcorrect.
This is the dark side of the two-pass approach. The LLM might fix something that was actually correct. If you dictate a sentence with an unusual but intentional word choice, the LLM might normalize it to something more conventional. If you're dictating code or technical notation, the LLM might reformat it in ways that break the syntax. You're trading one class of errors for another.
The model that's supposed to be cleaning up your transcript is also capable of hallucinating its own content. You might end up with a transcript that reads beautifully and is completely wrong.
Which is why Daniel's second approach, the unified multimodal model, is so appealing from an architectural standpoint. Let's talk about what that actually means.
The two-pass approach works, but it's expensive, slow, and introduces its own failure pattern. That brings us to the second approach, unified multimodal models that do everything in one pass.
This is where the landscape has shifted dramatically. GPT-4o was released in May 2024, and it natively processes audio tokens alongside text tokens. Gemini 1.5 Pro followed a similar path, released in February 2024 with native multimodal capabilities including audio. These models don't need a separate transcription step because audio is just another input modality, like text or images.
Instead of audio goes to text, goes to LLM goes to corrected text, you've got audio goes directly into a model that both transcribes and reasons about the transcription simultaneously.
The system prompt can be remarkably simple. Something like, transcribe this audio and format it as a well-structured blog outline. If you hear an instruction like scratch that, remove the preceding content. Add paragraph breaks for topic shifts. That's it. One prompt, one pass, one output.
The architectural elegance is real. You're not splitting the problem into acoustic and semantic stages. You're letting a single model handle both, which means the semantic reasoning can inform the transcription in real time, rather than as a post-processing cleanup.
In the two-pass model, Whisper makes its best guess at the word level, and then the LLM has to work with whatever text it receives. If Whisper made a mistake that the LLM can't recover from, maybe it transcribed a key term as something so garbled that even context can't save it, you're stuck. In a unified model, the acoustic interpretation and the semantic interpretation are happening in the same forward pass, so the model can use context to disambiguate ambiguous audio before committing to a transcription.
On paper, unified should win on latency, cost, and error propagation. One API call instead of two, no serial pipeline, no risk of the second stage hallucinating on top of a correct first stage transcription.
In practice, for common use cases, it does win. GPT-4o's native audio transcription with formatting instructions is impressive. It handles the scratch that pattern naturally, it adds paragraph breaks at sensible boundaries, and it catches obvious homophone errors because it has world knowledge baked in.
Here's the catch, and Daniel hinted at this. Does a unified model actually solve the Whisper problem?
It depends entirely on whether Whisper, as a proper noun, is well represented in the model's training data. GPT-4o has broad world knowledge, so it probably knows about OpenAI's Whisper. But what about a more obscure brand name? What about a technical term from a niche field? What about a person's name that sounds like a common word?
The unified model is still fundamentally limited by its training distribution. If it hasn't seen a particular entity enough times to recognize it as an entity, the acoustic signal and the semantic signal might both point toward the wrong interpretation.
And this is the unsolved challenge that neither approach fully addresses. Specialized vocabulary. Especially emerging brand names, tech terms, and proper nouns will always outrun any model's training data. By the time a new product name is common enough to be well represented in training corpora, there's already a newer product name the model doesn't know.
We've got two approaches, each with a different failure pattern. Two-pass doubles your costs and can overcorrect. Unified is elegant, but still blind to anything outside its training distribution. Where does that leave someone actually building a voice-to-text product?
This is where I think the most interesting engineering work is happening right now. Neither pure approach is optimal. The hybrid solution, what Daniel called an agentic chain, is where the real gains are.
What does that hybrid actually look like under the hood?
Imagine this. Whisper Large V3 produces a raw transcript, same as always. But instead of sending the entire transcript to an LLM for correction, you run a lightweight classifier that identifies likely error regions. The key insight is that Whisper's confidence scores actually correlate with accuracy.
Wait, Whisper outputs confidence scores.
It does, and this is one of those details that most people miss. Whisper generates log probabilities for each token it produces. Community benchmarks have shown that tokens with log probability below -1.0 are approximately 3 times more likely to be errors. That's a remarkably clean signal.
You're not blindly correcting everything. You're only flagging the segments where the model itself was uncertain.
The pipeline becomes pass 1, Whisper transcribes and outputs confidence scores. Pass 2, a small classifier, could be a lightweight model, could even be rule-based, identifies tokens or spans where confidence is below threshold. Pass 3, only those low-confidence spans are sent to an LLM for contextual correction, along with surrounding context, so the LLM can reason about what was likely intended.
That's clever. You're getting most of the accuracy benefit of the two-pass approach while dramatically reducing latency and cost because you're only running the expensive LLM pass on maybe 10 to 20% of the text.
you're reducing the overcorrection risk because the LLM is only touching segments where there's a high probability that something is actually wrong. It's not trying to improve text that was already transcribed correctly.
Daniel mentioned something in his prompt that fits perfectly here. The instruction to look at what's being transcribed and think whether this makes sense. That's essentially what the confidence-gated hybrid does. It says, for most of the transcript, the acoustic model was confident, and the output is probably fine. But for those low-confidence regions, bring in the reasoning model and ask it to figure out what was actually meant.
This is why I keep coming back to the idea that this is fundamentally a reasoning problem, not an acoustics problem. Whisper's acoustic modeling is already excellent. The bottleneck isn't hearing the words, it's understanding what they mean in context.
Which brings us to a practical question. Given the trade-offs between these approaches, what should you actually build or use today?
If you're building a voice-to-text product right now, the pragmatic answer is start with a two-pass pipeline using Whisper Large V3 plus GPT-40 Mini for cost efficiency and add a confidence threshold gating mechanism so you're only invoking the LLM on low-confidence segments. That gives you the accuracy benefit without the full cost penalty.
GPT-40? Mini specifically because it's cheap enough that even the full two-pass wouldn't break the bank, but with gating, it becomes economical.
And for the system prompt on the correction pass, be specific. Don't just say, fix errors. Say, you are correcting Whisper transcription output. Common error patterns include homophone substitutions, dropped negation words, and hallucinated punctuation. If a word appears to be a homophone for a known entity in the context, correct it to the known entity. If you see instructions like scratch that, remove the preceding content. Do not change the author's word choice or style unless you are confident it is a transcription error.
That specificity matters because it constrains the LLM's tendency to overcorrect. You're giving it a precise job description rather than a blank check.
For users, people like Daniel who are dictating into these systems every day, the actionable advice is, until the technology matures, use a tool that shows you the raw transcription alongside the corrected version. Don't trust any system blindly. The diff between raw and corrected is where you'll catch overcorrections and hallucinations.
That's the manual review step that Daniel's trying to eliminate, but for now, it's still necessary. The technology isn't at 100% yet, and the cost of an undetected error, especially something like a flip negation, is higher than the cost of a quick review pass.
The North Star here is exciting, though. A model that can read what it just wrote and apply common sense reasoning to fix errors. That's the path to eliminating human review. And we're closer to that than most people realize.
The key reframe is that this stops being a transcription problem and becomes a reasoning problem. The model that hears you and the model that knows what you mean need to be the same model, or at least need to be in tight enough communication that the reasoning can reach back and correct the hearing.
We're already seeing the beginnings of this. The multimodal models, GPT-40, Gemini, they're not just transcribing audio and then reasoning about the text. They're processing audio tokens and text tokens in the same representational space. The distinction between hearing and understanding is already blurring.
Where does this leave us? Will we ever trust voice to text enough to skip the review step entirely?
I think we will, but not because the word error rate hits zero. We'll trust it because the models will get good enough at self-correction that the remaining errors are both rare and benign. The uncanny valley Daniel described, good enough to make you comfortable, bad enough to betray you. That's a temporary state. We're climbing out of it.
The interesting philosophical question is whether the review step is a bug or a feature. There's something about reviewing your own words that forces a second pass on your thinking. Maybe some friction is productive.
That's fair. But I think the goal isn't to eliminate the option to review, it's to make review optional rather than mandatory. Right now, if you don't review, you will ship errors. The goal is to reach a point where skipping review is a reasonable choice, not a negligent one.
As multimodal models improve, the distinction between transcription and understanding will keep blurring. The model that hears you and the model that knows what you mean will be the same model. And when that happens, the review step stops being about catching machine errors and becomes purely about refining your own thinking.
Which is where the technology should have been all along. The machine handles the mechanics, the human handles the meaning. We're not there yet, but the hybrid approach, confidence gated too. Pass with a reasoning model is the most practical bridge.
No, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
Ancient Tibetan astronomers, observing the moon's libration around the 2nd century BCE, noticed that the lunar surface appeared to wobble slightly over time. They interpreted this as the moon breathing, and incorporated the rhythm of lunar libration into meditation cycles designed to synchronize human breath with what they believed was the moon's own respiration.
The moon breathing.
I'll never look at a full moon the same way.
This has been My Weird Prompts. Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop. If you enjoyed this episode, leave us a review wherever you listen. It helps more people find the show. I'm Korn.
I'm Herman Poppleberry. We'll be back next week.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep, the stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close, from sloth, from man, from law. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.